The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
It's time for the second hour of the Bible study. This is the Ask the Pastor Hour. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can call in with questions and comments on just about anything. Our guest in this hour is Pastor Randy Wilkin. He's just all over the place. He's affiliated with the Acts 1-8 Mission Society and also serves at the church called The Rock on King's Highway here in St. Louis. Morning, Pastor. Get yourself all comfortable there.
Oh, I am set now.
You look relaxed.
Yes, I am.
The previous hour was an interesting hour, and I'll try to summarize it for those who may have just joined us and did not get a chance to hear it. Pastor John Schmidtke, who, as we pointed out in the course of the program, is quite the white man. He is from Wisconsin.
That's right.
He doesn't shy away from that revelation, but he is serving in a largely, if not entirely, African-American area of St. Louis City and has a largely African-American population in his church. Now, he made the amazing statement, as we went into verses 19 through 30 in Acts chapter 11, that he thought this was almost as exciting, if not as exciting, as Acts chapter 2, which, as you probably know, is a pretty darned exciting chapter. That's where the Holy Spirit is poured out, and we got tongues of fire and loud rushing wind, and we got speaking in tongues. I was dubious when he made that claim. The reason that he found this exciting was because the Christians in Jerusalem, because of the persecution of Stephen, had begun to move out. And at first it says that they just spoke with other Jews, stayed inside their comfort zone, but then some of them began to talk to the Greek, non-Jewish people. And that was blessed by God, and the church was beginning to take off, even to the point of being established in Antioch, which Pastor Schmidtke said was at the time the third largest city in the world, replete with sexual immorality, and probably not the place where a good Christian ought to be found, but that's where they went. They went to Antioch. I took it to mean that he was talking about us in the 21st century getting outside of our comfort zones, maybe going to places that don't necessarily make so much sense to us, and talking to Jesus, to people that we might think don't want to hear about Jesus. I thought to myself, wow, we got Randy Wilkin coming up next. This is right up your alley.
Oh yeah.
You also a Caucasian man.
Oh yeah.
Have done
white guy
ministry in East St. Louis and in urban setting. And I thought this probably would in many ways sound familiar to you. I can already tell just by the look on your face that you agree with Pastor Schmidtke. Can you give me the Randy Wilkin perspective on getting outside your comfort zone?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so glad you mentioned it, because last night, what we're doing is somebody had asked me. I bumped into a pastor, and he's down in Jefferson County, and he's at Zion in Hillsboro. Okay. So I'm kind of calling him out. And basically he said, I like what you're doing. How do we do this? We want to do what you're doing. We want to reach out. We want to reach people that no one's reaching, but we don't know how to do it. We're clueless. And I said, all right, well, how about if we do this? How about if I come to your church and I just help you get this started? So I did. Went down there. There was another group of churches in Granite City, three of them. St. John, which is an SCLC district church. If no one knows what that is, call me sometime and I'll explain it. And Concordia and Hope Lutheran, those three churches. They're in Granite City. All three churches are stagnant or in decline. And this is what they tell me, so I'm not outing them on this one.
Yeah.
And they said, we don't know how to reach our kids. We tried, and it just didn't go anywhere. I said, all right, tell you what, how about if I just come and I just work with you? And this is what has happened almost across the board. I'm working with some kids in East St. Louis. Now, so it's Hillsboro, Granite City, and East St. Louis. What is happening is it's, and everybody told me, our kids are really busy, Pastor. Don't try and give them too much more stuff to do. They're really busy. And I said, to be honest, they're not the ones we're looking for. Not as in I don't care about them. No, they're already busy. They're already coming to church. They're already with you. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily the ones that we're looking for. The ones that we're looking for are the ones no one's really after. You know what is absolutely amazing? Every single church that I've been to, these three areas, it's actually the ones that no one thinks should walk through the door. They're not the, what you said, Antioch, they got sexual immorality, you got things happening. No real Christian should be down there. Kids are coming in. And I'm amazed because they're the ones that shouldn't be walking through your door. Because,
how'd you make that happen?
I didn't. And that's kind of the amazing thing. I didn't. I didn't go out and go
somebody
to the streets.
Did something, didn't they?
Somebody mentioned that we're doing something different, and these kids show up not because they're interested, as in, wow, that sounds great. I want to be a part of this. You know what they're doing? They're coming and they're saying, it's another one of these quote-unquote Christian programs, and as soon as they find out I'm not a really good Christian kid, they'll tell me where to get off, and they come just to test the waters. And what is amazing is they come in, and we don't tell them they have to, you got to get right with the Lord before you can be here, because they already know. They're pretty rotten kids, and they already know it. And they're heading down the wrong path, but they know there's something out there. There's someone out there.
How do they know that?
Do they know it?
No, how do they know? You said that they're pretty rotten kids.
Yep.
Which I think is the Randy Wilkin way of saying that they're in trouble.
Yep, absolutely.
And in spite of the fact that probably everything in their experience is negative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just said, but they know that there's something out there. How do they know that?
It's just, they have this tugging on their heart. Something's tugging them. What is that? That's God, Holy Spirit, tugging on them. But here is what happens. These kids come through last night. Now, I know this young lady's not listening. Young lady came in, won't mention her name, but she came in, had a lip ring. Through her lip, couldn't tell it was a girl. Looked like a guy. And I actually said, so, young man, what's your name? Found out it was a girl. Oh, yeah, I should have sent her right out the door right away. But when she said she was a girl, and we started talking, and she confessed that, yeah, I used to go to church. I used to do all that church stuff. And in other words, I don't do it anymore. And but there's some reason.
What do you do at that moment right there?
You know that that's why these kids are here. Even the quote-unquote good ones are there because I know I want something more. I've heard about this Jesus, and this is what John said earlier. I love it because why am I doing this? I want to share Christ with people. That's the reason why we do it. We're not doing it to build a youth group. We're not doing it to build a church. We're doing it to share Christ. And I know this from personal experience. You know it from your own personal experience. You shouldn't be. You should not have God's grace. You should not. You know you've done things that, really, if God only knew, and he does, he should kick me to the curb. I should be burning in hell right now. And yet he doesn't. And he gave his grace to you, and now you have his grace, you have this knowledge, but you still do things you shouldn't do, and you still have thoughts you shouldn't have, and God, please, and he keeps humbling you down to your knees. That's where these young people are at, and when they come in with their gothic clothes and their hair hanging in their face, and you can't tell who they are, and they're goofing around, and they're not being respectful, and they're texting on their cell phone, and they're getting up in the middle of our conversations and walking away, and then coming back, what they're doing is saying, this is who I am. I'm a pretty bad person. I know you're going to kick me out. I'm just waiting for the when that's going to happen. And when it doesn't, they're just amazed. And when you start saying you are worth it, I want to know about you. I want to know more about you, the person. Not, ooh, your behavior is bad. Get that lip ring out of your lip and stop wearing these clothes that you have skulls on and, you know, you drew stuff and have some bad words on your pants that you drew. And, you know, once you clean up, then you can come back. That's what they're waiting for. And when it doesn't happen, really, you're accepting me as I am? A young man in East St. Louis said, I like your church better than other churches. And I said, we're not even a church. We're just a group of kids coming, you know, group of people coming together. And he says, I like this better than my church. And I said, why? He says, because you don't make me change. Well, I'll tell you what. Then I thought I'm doing something wrong. I don't make them change. Maybe I should. I got to get these kids to change. No, I don't. I just want to share with them this awesome Christ. Guess what? They change. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm watching it every week. These young people are changing. Not the way we want them to change, but they're changing because they keep coming back, and they shouldn't be coming because this is youth group, this is church-oriented, and we talk about Jesus, and they're telling me how I don't really believe, but you have to keep coming back. What does it tell you? The Lord's tugging on me.
What do you say to somebody who is listening to you talk mm-hmm. here, and mm-hmm. inside they just say,
okay.
I'm Randy Wilkin, guys. He sounds like a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could have lunch with Randy and enjoy myself, but I just don't believe it.
Exactly.
I just don't believe what you're saying.
You got it.
You got kids coming in with
yep.
Lip rings and gothic clothes mm-hmm. and to me,
and I'm not
sensitive. That is the epitome
mm-hmm.
of full-scale rebellion.
Yep.
I just don't believe there is a
yep.
pastor or a program
yep.
that's going to bring those kids back.
Yep.
I can't believe it. What
yep.
do you say?
Let me see. I sat with three men last night. Three men from these three churches in Granite City. And they're the leaders of the churches. And I sat with
them.
Okay. Not pastors. I mainly work with the laity. And because those are the ones. Pastors are overworked. You don't need to be doing everything. So the pastors, I meet with them, make sure that they understand what I'm doing, and we're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
These laymen came in, and last night said exactly what you just said. They said, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm amazed that these kids are changing. I didn't give you a snowball's chance. I didn't believe you could do this. And as a matter of fact, I'm sitting here the whole time, and it's amazing, these three men, all three of them said the same thing. I'm sitting here biting my tongue. I need to bring a sock and stick it in my mouth because I'm just ready to strangle these kids and tell them, behave, stop goofing around, do this, and, you know, become more like me and, you know, be respectful. And that's what they want to do. And I told them, thank you. Thank you for being here and not respecting me, but watching what God is doing. Because I'm clueless. God isn't. And he is... he's doing something amazing, but they all said the same thing. Every single word that you just said, I don't believe that this is the way we should do it, but I'm giving you a shot. I'm just giving you the benefit of the doubt. Go ahead and prove me wrong. And God is, not me. God is. Because I've given up so many times. God hasn't.
You know, I'm of the opinion that it's not possible. Work
mm-hmm.
with me here a second.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't expect you to fully accept mm-hmm. this. That it's not possible to teach what you do.
No.
I think you have to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
As the New Testament tells us, God gave some to be
mm-hmm.
apostles and some to be pastors and some to be teachers and
mm-hmm.
in another place, the gift of hospitality, the
mm-hmm.
gift of administration.
Mm-hmm.
You have a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you're comfortable with people who are in full-scale rebellion.
Yep.
So that you don't feel either threatened so much by them or driven to judge them, which is
mm-hmm.
probably the key. You can't teach that to
nope.
other people, can you?
Nope. No, and when you just said it, people have asked to put this into a program, and I said you can't. And they said, well, how do we describe this? You can't. Well, then how are we going to sell this to anybody? You don't. Here's the truth. One of the guys said last night, he says he's very organized. you take a look at his folder. He opens up his folder, and everything is nice and neat in his folder. And, you know, he's got all his stuff, papers, you know, organized. I went out to
my kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I went out to his truck, and he's got, he has this carpet-lined little bin on the bottom of his truck, and he pulls it out, and he's got all of his tools in there.
Love it,
and they're
love
nice
it.
In neat little yep, rows yep. and all cleaned up. Awesome, awesome guy. And now you open up my truck. It's just tools are thrown in the back. You open up my folder and papers are falling out, but I know where everything's at. But I could frustrate him. He knows it, and I would frustrate him. And last night he says, I can't do what you're doing. I said, no, I don't ask you to. And so what he did is he sat there and says, well, he started telling a story last night. And we were asking, what's interesting about you? And it got to him, and he says, well, something interesting. In 1973, we broke the world's record for the longest Monopoly game underwater. And the kids all sat there, wait, how'd that happen? How did you do that? And they're asking all these questions, and he's sharing with them. And at the end of the night, I told him, that's what you need to do with these kids. You share your interesting life. Now, here's the thing. How do you roll it back into Jesus? This is how God has gifted me. He's another storyteller, but his life is fascinating. And I says, now, how do you roll it back into Jesus? He says, I can do that. And I says, that's what you do. That's what you do. That's what these kids are looking for. They're looking for a relationship because every single one of them, the young lady that came in, finally admitted she hates her dad, doesn't have a dad figure in her life. Guess what? This guy, another young man, rebellious young man there, he sat next to my storyteller. The guy that did the underwater stuff. Next thing you know, he's sitting next to him. He left the group of kids across the room and came and sat next to him. And I says, why did you do that? And the guy says, well, because there was no other chairs. I said, he could have picked up the chair and moved it over, but he didn't. He sat next to you. Why do you
How'd
think
explain that?
Because he wants to know more about him. He wants to emulate him. Whatever this
no
guy
way.
Does. Yes. Whatever this guy does. He does the same thing.
You're talking about the organized truck guy?
Yep. You betcha.
He wants to emulate the organized truck guy?
Yep.
That's a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In some books.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what these kids are looking for. They're not looking that you judge me, what you just said. Don't judge me. Love me. What did Christ do? Let me see. Woman caught in adultery. Where's the persecutors? Where's the ones that are accusing you? They're not here. Well, neither do I.
So you have no lines? You have no boundaries?
Yeah, actually, I do. And that's what they're... okay, that's what I explained to the group last night. You know, they're pushing the boundaries. They're seeing where my line is. And let them. Because they're going to find where the line is. That's what they're pushing for. And then they want to see, you know, where is it that I'm going to draw the line? I said, pick your battles. Because the kids would get up, we'd take a break for 5 minutes, the next thing 15 minutes later, they finally show up, they're still doing their cell phones when I tell them they're not supposed to do it, and I said, those aren't the battles. Those aren't the battles right now that I want to be fighting. Here's what I want. I want, okay, you want to push it? That's acceptable. But I tell you what, I want to tell you about Jesus. And you know what's amazing? They sit and listen. And I do it in a different way. But when I get into God's Word, they sit and they listen, where in any other circumstance, they even told me, they go to church, I fall asleep. One young lady told me, I don't go to church. And I said, why? Because it's boring. It's a bunch of old people. But yet she's here with us, and we're into God's Word, and she's still there. She's an older young lady, 20 years old, going to be 21 tomorrow, searching. But they've left the church because, not because our theology's wrong, not because we don't love them, but they leave because I don't understand this stuff and I don't have a relationship with you.
You know, the story of Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, which I think took place in Samaria, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
so Jesus
Samaritan.
Is already outside the boundaries.
That's right.
He's in Samaria.
Uh-huh.
Where a good Jewish rabbi ought not to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's talking to a woman,
which
a good Jewish rabbi probably shouldn't be doing.
Alone.
Alone. And then there is some speculation, I don't know if this is valid or not, that because she was at the well to draw water at the middle of the day, the hottest part of the day, that meant that she wasn't welcome in the morning when the rest of the women came to draw water, means she might have not been...
Mm-hmm.
She might have had a lip ring. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. A little gothic.
Now, Jesus engages her,
mm-hmm.
talks with her,
mm-hmm.
and he is aware that there are some things that she's doing that are not appropriate.
You got it.
Just
yes.
like, just
mm-hmm.
like you. But he plays that card last instead of first.
Mm-hmm.
He says, it's true that you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a model yep. or a template for what you've been describing here?
Mm-hmm. Now, somebody will say, but Jesus knew what was on her heart. He already knew it. But I'm not Jesus. And you're absolutely 100% right. I can't tell what's on somebody's heart. Yeah, but God does tell you what is on your heart.
Yeah, but you don't have to know what is what's on their heart if they're drawing it on their jeans and they're, you know, they're saying it with their hair and they're saying it with their makeup and their
yes.
lip rings and tattoos and everything.
Yes, exactly. You are reading it correct because they are screaming it out. And what we're doing is saying, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, no, no, no. You know, I don't want the... Now, one of the other comments that was made is, I don't know if our church wants our kids associating with these kids. Here is the truth. Do you realize they're doing it already? Now, they won't do it in church, but they do it in the school. Because all the good little kids, these young people that were coming, don't go to that church. But yet, when they're there... All the kids from the church kids all gravitate towards these kids. They all know them. They know them by name. They know who they are, and they're gravitating towards them because they're quote-unquote cool.
So this work that you're doing, would you say, in Hillsboro and
mm-hmm.
Granite City and where else?
East St. Louis.
East St. Louis. Is there an end game to this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I realize that
yep.
as long as you're in the ministry, there really is never an end of the game. But
mm-hmm.
at what point do you say to the three mm-hmm. men with, and the guy with the organized truck down in Granite City,
mm-hmm.
okay, I've done all I can do here. Now I need to move on to another
mm-hmm.
city or another town. What constitutes the end game?
Mm. Here it is. When I can go in and I start to find the leadership. And we're going to bring leadership in from other places and within the group. We're going to find it. And when the leadership actually is able to do it, and I'm sitting there most of the time just observing and going, yeah, what they just said, that's when I move on. And that's the end. The end game is to duplicate what we're doing but not make people into me. Find their gifts, just the stuff that you just said. Our organized guy, we do this thing called a nom de guerre.
A what?
Nom de guerre.
Is that like English or is that some other language?
French.
French.
Yeah.
Little
or,
French on the right. Bible study today.
I learned this from a friend of mine, Marine Corps colonel. Anyways, he was here before. Nom de guerre, warrior name. So we give these young people a warrior name. And it sounds terrible to be, we're warriors for Christ. So you give them a warrior name. This organized guy. We have given him the name MacGyver because he's so organized. Yeah. I locked the keys in my truck, and before I could call my wife to have her bring my second set of keys, he broke into my truck. And I
guess that's a good thing, huh?
Oh, yeah, except for now whenever my truck gets broken into, I'm thinking of you. I'm going to wonder where you were at. So he's MacGyver. Now, where were we?
Nom de guerre.
No, before that. What the end result is?
Yeah.
Okay.
End game.
Yep. Now, the thing is to bring others in so that they are starting to associate with these individuals and the group becomes an entity unto itself versus being beholden to a leader. John said it, and I'm going to keep going back to what Pastor Schmidtke said, which is, I do this for Christ. That's the relationship I want to build with these young people. I only want to be pointing them to Jesus. And eventually, I want to be able to back out of all this stuff and go into, you now have Christ as your focus. This is who you need to be focusing on versus me, versus MacGyver, versus John Schmidtke, versus Chuck. That's where we want to go.
Pastor Randy Wilkin mm-hmm. is with us here today. He's talking about miracles. 21st century miracles.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be happening. I can't believe it. We'll be right back.
Concordia Seminary, St. Louis will host Brunch at the Sim on Easter Sunday, April 4th, and on Mother's Day, May 9th, in Coburg Hall on the seminary campus. Brunch will be served from 10 until 3. The menu includes carved ham, fried chicken, carved roasted turkey, jumbo cocktail shrimp, eggs Benedict, and even Belgian waffles. Reservations are recommended for Concordia Seminary's Brunch at the Sim.
Hi, this is Buzz Ulrich. I'll be the MC for the German Cultural Society Trivia Night, Saturday, March 20th, at the German Cultural Society Hall, one block south of CPH on Jefferson. Doors open at 6:30. Trivia begins at 7. A good time will be had by all if you bring your friends out. 8 players per table maximum. Test your knowledge of things German and categories we don't yet know about. We'll find out together Saturday, March 20th at the German Cultural Society. Online, germanstl.org.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
40 Days for Life is having a big impact. People in communities throughout America are participating in prayers and fasting in front of abortion mills. Christian love and assistance is being offered to women going in for abortions, as well as the staff of the abortion facility. A spiritual presence is impacting these people. A woman in Reno, Nevada had scheduled an abortion, but because of the pro-lifers in front of the mill, she left. A short while later, she returned, not for the abortion, but for a refund from the facility. When abortion mill staff saw her hugging the pro-lifers, they wouldn't let her inside. She had to wait in her car while they processed her refund. Please keep 40 Days for Life in your prayers, as well as those they encounter.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Census Boycott. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. The National Coalition of Latino Clergy and Christian Leaders is urging undocumented immigrants not to fill out the U.S. Census forms that are starting to arrive in mailboxes. The coalition's chairman, the Reverend Miguel Rivera, says undocumented immigrants should boycott the census unless there's comprehensive immigration reform.
You want to have them counted and get all the benefits from each one, $3,000 per person approximately in many communities, then we need to legalize them first.
The Census Bureau says participation is mandatory and insists the information it collects is confidential. But Rivera doesn't trust those assurances and says
between 3 million to 3.5 million members of our churches will not participate in the census.
Rivera says 38% of the members of his coalition's 20,000 Latino congregations are undocumented immigrants, along with more than a sixth of their pastors. I'm Steve Coleman.
KFUO Radio is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling, 8463 Delport Drive. The folks at Reliable Heating and Cooling remind you that the time between the extremes of winter and summer can be a prudent time to arrange for routine maintenance or a service checkup for your furnace or cooling system. That tip courtesy of Reliable Heating and Cooling, a corporate underwriter of the programs you hear on KFUO Radio.
Many Christians have personal disciplines that make the most of the opportunity the Lenten season provides to understand the passion of Jesus Christ for their sins, and not for theirs only, but for the sins of the whole world. One tradition you might incorporate into your Lent this year is the New Melle Community Passion Play at New Melle Sports and Recreation on March 20th and 21st and March 27th and 28th. There are 6 presentations you can choose from, and admission is free.
You're listening to the Bible Study. I'm Chuck Rathert. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you have a question or a comment on any subject, you're free to change the subject, which I'm going to do now.
Oh.
Unless, Pastor Wilkin, you have anything that you want to follow up with from before we went to the break. Any other comments?
No, let's go on.
I want you to sort this out for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is a story from a place called Mercer Island in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And the story says that clergy on Mercer Island, so I guess it's actually an island, unlike Rhode Island, which is not an island, clergy on Mercer Island, Washington, say the city's new rules about the roving homeless encampment known as Tent City violate their religious freedoms. The Seattle Times reports that the Mercer Island City Council, this is a church-state thing we're doing here,
mm-hmm.
that the Mercer Island City Council voted last month to require churches which host Tent City on their property to ensure the encampment conducts sex offender and arrest warrant checks on its residents.
Mm-hmm.
The rules also say that when Tent City moves, it must wait 18 months before returning to the same site, and the encampment's host must enforce bans on alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The Mercer Island Clergy Association says those rules infringe on the right of churches to minister to the homeless. And University of Washington constitutional law professor Stuart Jay agrees with them. Mayor Jim Pearman says the ordinance could be reconsidered. Now, I thought you were the perfect guy to ask to lay this before here. We have homeless people
mm-hmm.
on Mercer Island in Washington, and apparently, like the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, they encamp at a church, and they stay there for a while, and then they pick up, and they go to another church property, and they encamp mm-hmm. there. That's probably creating some consternation among some church members at that church, or maybe people in the neighborhood. And so now the city government has decided to get involved, and they're imposing restrictions, legal restrictions, on the churches as to how they deal with these people. Sex offender checks. I'm trying to imagine what this looks like. Okay, here comes the homeless Tent City, and it's going to be at Concordia Lutheran Church in Granite City.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say
mm-hmm.
one of the we were talking about. And now the pastor is going to have to take his yellow pad out there and start doing, okay, who's a sex offender here in the Tent City? And I'm thinking that's not going to work very well.
Mm-hmm.
Is this on your radar screen? Does this compute to you, or this is something that's like, let's move on to the next story?
No, interesting. Don't really know that I've given this one in particular a lot of thought.
Let's just imagine you were a pastor
mm-hmm.
of a church in Mercer Island, Washington,
mm-hmm.
and you knew, I guess this is something that's semi-organized because they seem to move from place to place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got to wait 18 months before they can come back to your site, so I guess they've been moving and moving for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're coming to St. John's, at the, you know, next to the gas station in Pastor Randy Wilkins' church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you just received documentation from the city fathers. How are you going to handle it?
Hmm. No kidding. First off, why are we doing it? Are we just trying to give people a...
Why are we doing what?
Moving the, you know, letting the Tent City move onto our property. Why are we doing that? Just to give people a place to stay, just to...
Well, they're homeless.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. That's kind of a love your neighbor thing.
Kind of, yeah. And so the opposition is, well, okay, we don't want to have to ask them if they're on our property who's a sex offender, et cetera, because that should be nobody's business. It's the church, and we are just trying to love our neighbor. Well, what about the people that live around you? And you allow a whole group of people to come and congregate on your property. And the next thing you know, somebody's molested, somebody's attacked, somebody's home is broken into.
That would be bad.
Yeah, exactly. And now they start pointing the finger at this church. What is our witness? And I'm really wondering about the witness that, you know, we are proclaiming to these people, which is we're more concerned about the homeless than the people living around us, which, you know, the people living around us already have a home. These people don't have any place to stay. But are we really helping, or are we perpetuating the same situation, which, and I'm going to get kind of controversial, some of the homeless actually like being homeless. And people will say, oh, I can't imagine that. Actually, I know it for a fact, that some really don't mind. Just give me a bed to sleep, and I had no problem. You know, something to eat. That's all that I want. I want to be able to do nothing all day except for drink or do my drugs or whatever and just give me some place to sleep. And that is their entire life. Not saying everybody's there. So what is our witness? So you really have to struggle with the witness. Here's the struggle on the opposite end, which if they start requiring us when we gather people together on our property, and even if they stay overnight, etc., where's that going to end? And all of a sudden, when people come into your church, I want you to have them register. And if there's any sex offenders, we want to know, because you're congregating people at your church on Sunday. Now we want to know who's coming to your church. We want, you know, because sex offenders, that's the number one evilness out there right now, and they're, you know, they can't be rehabilitated. Therefore, you have to tell us when a sex offender is on your campus of your church. And how about major violent people, etc., and where does it stop? So I'm struggling with it. You know, this is a real case to wrestle with this, because there's no right or wrong answer. But where does it stop?
Well, the reason I put the question to you is because I don't know if this is a fair presupposition or not, but I'm inclined to think that in most places in America, churches would be inclined to say, well, we don't want those people on our property. And I don't know what the 10th city rotation is, and I know you got to have some churches because you can't come back.
That's correct.
In 18 months. I'm thinking that a lot of churches would say, well, we don't want those people on our property. But you strike me as the kind of guy who would say, bring those people to me.
Here's the difference, though, which is what we have been talking about with these young people that are coming into the churches. What we have, the first night that we did it in Grand City, I basically said, guys, consider this a sanctuary. And I said, so what is that, you know, what's that word evoke in your...
Who are the guys you're talking to?
The young people. All the people that were there.
Right.
Basically adults, along with the kids. I said, consider this sanctuary.
Do they know what sanctuary means?
Well, that's what I asked them. I said, so what do you think sanctuary is? Church? You know, that's the upstairs up here, sanctuary. And I said, so what does that evoke? Boredom, old people, etc. And I said, that's not what sanctuary is. Sanctuary is a place where you can escape the world. Not escape as in, you know, I did something evil and I'm going to come here. Even though that is part of sanctuary. And what it is leave all that stuff out there. All the stuff out there that you're participating with, etc. When you come here, it doesn't, not that it doesn't exist, but this is a different place. We're not going to participate with that. Leave your music outside.
A place for separation.
Okay, good. Good. Yes. And leave all that stuff out there. Separate yourself from all the stuff that you're doing. Give me 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever, and let's do something different. And when I put it into that perspective, kids are actually sitting there saying, all right.
Is it a safe zone?
Yep. It's safe. You can talk about anything. You don't have to worry about repercussions. You don't have to worry about judging, being judged, etc. You can say anything that you want. But here's the thing. Don't bring the world here. Don't bring your CDs or your iPods or whatever with, you know, filthy language on there and expect me to say, oh, yeah, that's okay. Sorry. Leave that out there. Now, here comes the people that are coming onto this property. Leave all that stuff out there in the world. When you come here, we're going to give you sanctuary. We're going to give you separation from the problems of the world. This is a place to come for rest. That's what the Lord talks about. Come to me. Come to me. The Lord rested on the seventh day. On the Sabbath, he rested from all of his work. I tell you what, why aren't we doing that? Why don't we do the same thing? Come together. Here is a sanctuary. It doesn't have to be the seventh day. It's any time that you walk in through these doors. It's not the holiness place. It's the fact that we can come and leave all the problems of the world. Leave all that stuff out there for at least one day, for 1 hour, for 1 month, for 1 week, however long it is that you can come on this property and separate yourself from the world. But if you're going to continue, and this is the truth, this is what I have told all the people that come, if you're going to continue what you're doing out there and you want to bring it in here, like scoping out the babes and trying to hook up, you try and do that here, I tell you what, do that out there. don't bring it in here. This is a place to do something.
They find that
different.
Attractive?
What's that?
Do the young people who come into the sanctuary that you have set up,
mm-hmm.
understanding that it is a sanctuary, however, that does not mean that anything goes.
Exactly.
There are some things that,
mm-hmm.
the worldly things that have to be left outside, do they find that attractive, mm-hmm. or do they find that restrictive?
Nope. Actually attractive. If you're smoking dope, leave it outside the doors. In other words, don't come in here high. Don't bring that in here.
We're not going to judge you for it, but don't come in here and do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And it's not, if I find you high, it's not like, oh, get out the door. When you're right with the Lord, then you can come back in. You're high. No, I tell you what, it's not an acceptable behavior. But I'm not going to judge you an evil person. It's just that, no, this is the boundary. These are the lines. And this is what the Lord tells us. He is unbelievably patient, but not eternally patient.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's take a call. Hi, James. You're on the Bible study.
Yes, Pastor. I remember whether it was the leaders at United Church of Christ Neighborhood House or the vicar at Bethlehem Lutheran or Father Bob up at Holy Name.
Mm-hmm.
It made an enormous impact on those of us who back then often questioned authority.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people were grace oriented and they did not cast us off. So I'd like for you, Pastor, if you could, to give me an application and understanding of Judges 11 verses 1-3.
Judges 11. I don't have that one memorized, but I'm going to go to it.
Is it up on your screen there?
Oh. You are so good.
Hey,
oh, man, I'll have to look it up. Yeah.
All right, James, we'll talk about it. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Judges 11, 1-3 says, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. Mm-hmm. Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away. You are not going to get any inheritance in our family, they said, because you are the son of another woman. So Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a group of adventurers gathered around him and followed him. Sounds like the beginning of a Spielberg movie.
Oh, there you go.
You want to react to Judges 11, 1-3?
Yeah, okay. I like what James said. Here are the places that I went to when we were questioning authority. Because we were driven away from other places that were saying, here's the authority, this is what we say, do what I say, not what I do, etc. I walked away. Now, I can't say I walked away from the church, but I tell you what, I walked away. I distanced myself from the church because I couldn't live up to those standards. And I like what James said. We went to a place that practiced, that really emphasized grace and didn't, now I'm going to put words, I'm trying to remember what he said, you know, didn't judge us, accepted us, didn't drive us away. And what you have here in Judges is exactly that. Oh, we're the legitimate ones. You're illegitimate. You're the son of another woman, which, let me see, his father was Gilead, his mother was a prostitute. Wow. So therefore, you can't be good enough. You can't be like us, so we're going to send you away. So they did. They drive him away. I'm just making sure. Jephthah fled. Okay, good. So he flees his brothers. Because I can never live up to what you want me to be. I'm always going to be.
The wrong mother.
Yeah.
You can't fix that.
You got it. Yes. And I'm always, here's these kids coming along, and I'm going to go back to the kids. Here's these kids coming along saying exactly the same thing. I don't have the right credentials. I don't have parents that are taking me to this church. I can't belong here, and I'm being driven away. Now, here's the thing. So he leaves, and I like this. Group of adventurers gathered around him and followed him. Now, I don't have the rest of the story in front of me, and I'd really have to take a look at this. I don't remember all this story. But here it is. He's being driven away because he's not good enough. Now he goes to these others and they start to follow him. Let me see. Who does that sound like? Can you take a look at the lineage of Jesus? prostitutes. You have men that slept with their son's, their late son's wife, Judah. You know, and he treats her like a prostitute. And there's the lineage of Jesus. Wow. He doesn't have the pristine, perfect lineage. And yet he comes to this earth, and this is kind of a mini, you know, or what do you call it?
Microcosm?
Yeah, of Jesus' lineage. This is kind of an example of. Yeah. And the world just looks at Jesus and says, you don't have the right credentials. You know, who are you? Wait, we know you're the carpenter's son. What are you trying to tell us stuff for? And in his own hometown, prophet does not get any respect. Henny Youngman. So, and here it is. We're being cast away because we're not perfect. By those that think we have the kingdom. Those in the church that think we are, I don't want to say it, something doesn't stink. And we think, you know, we're just so perfect and righteous that we have all the answers, and we're chasing them away. And where are they going? Now, I like what it says here, and I'd have to look a little bit farther, but they're going away from the church. They're going away from the fellowship. And what are they doing? They're looking for answers elsewhere. So they go out, they look for them, and guess what? If they're not going to, the hard questions, be prepared for them. You bring anybody into your church, you bring anybody into, quote-unquote, a youth group, and you say, anything goes, any questions go, be prepared for the questions they're going to ask. And you better not get offended and say, it's just stuff we don't talk about here. We'll talk about anything. Because if they don't get the answer from you, guess where they're going? If they don't have the fellowship with us, guess where they're going? They're going to go out into the world. They're going to go join gangs because that's family. That's what gang is. A gang is a family. Their rules are even tougher than ours. But that's what they want. They want to be able to earn their stripes through this family, and so they do. Do something wrong, we're going to have to cut a finger off. Okay.
You see, the thing here that's hard to think through is that you've been talking about authority. That's what we've been talking about, is authority. Mm-hmm. In the tent city thing, we have the authority of the clergy. We have the authority of the city.
Mm-hmm.
In the... first half hour, we talked about the authority of the church in Granite City, the church in Hillsboro, the church in East St. Louis, the authority of the pastor, the authority of the three guys, all of them exercising authority. And at some point, when we exercise authority, we create an expectation. And eventually, particularly... with all due respect to the organized truck guy, because I tend to resonate with him. Okay, if he were listening, I'm with you, brother. But eventually, those of us who have an organized truck, our expectations are set at a level where, particularly young people, just can't meet them.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, we have a tendency to move the bar. If they if they meet him at a certain level, we make them a little tougher, because we think somehow that'll make them better people. And then we have the example of Jesus, the woman caught in adultery. I think you referenced that before. Now, here's a woman who has not met expectations. She has violated what we would call the sixth commandment, taken in the very act of adultery. The authoritative scripture is clear.
Yep, you betcha.
She should be stoned. As a matter of fact, the stoners quote that scripture. But that's not the way Jesus handled it. And that's the part where we get weak, Pastor. That's where all we can see is the expectation and the failure, and so we isolate, or we punish, or we injure on behalf of the expectations. And that's the point where we don't know what to do. That's the place where apparently you know what to do, because you say, look, we're not going to have any pot smoking in here. If you're going to do that, go outside the sanctuary and do that. Most of the rest of us can't even think that thought. We're going to say, don't smoke it in here, don't smoke it out there. And if you do, then don't come back.
Yeah, we're going to drug test.
How do you know where to draw the Jesus line? Let the one among you who is without sin, expectation setters, throw the first stone. Because mm-hmm. here's what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you're going to feel the stone, too,
mm-hmm.
if you decide to be a stone thrower.
Mm-hmm.
You understand my question?
Absolutely.
We don't, you know, we all got rocks in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize that there's somebody standing behind us with a rock aimed at us.
Yeah, exactly. With the expectation setters, I like what you just said. I'll use your nomenclature there. The expectation setters are the ones that say, I've gotten past all this stuff, I'm here, and that's where I want these kids. Or that's where I want others. I want them to be where I'm at right now. So therefore, I'm going to place all of my experience on top of you, and you should be at the same place that I am. And what I do with the expectation setters is we go back to when you were that age. And we start to explore, what were you doing? What were you doing in 1965? What were you doing in 1968? Were you protesting the war? Were you sitting there with everybody else and, you know, smoking dope and the, little parties, etc.? And if you want to say no, that's fine, but look in your heart and know what you were doing back at that time. Were you living with somebody that was not your spouse? Were you, you know, in intimate relationships with people and you shouldn't have been? When you take them back to those areas, then all of a sudden, you know, that's where these kids are walking right now. And you're trying to place them, you're trying to give them 50 years or 40 years or however much of experience and saying, you should be where I'm at. What I want to do is make you walk with them through all of this tough stuff, all these tough decisions, and they're going to make terrible decisions, and they're going to fall flat on their face, and you can either stand there and wag your finger and say, see, if you only listen to me, and then they're going to walk away, because I know I did. I never wanted to tell somebody my mistakes because they always said, see, you should have listened to me. Instead of, man, I just made a mistake. Wow, yeah, I've been there. Can we walk together?
You said that, we have just a couple of minutes
mm-hmm.
left here. You said that you really can't teach this.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand exactly what that means. I marvel at these guys that they call NFL punters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a guy who gets to put on a uniform and play in the NFL because he can kick the ball 60 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I can't kick the ball 60 yards, and you can't teach me to do it.
Mm-mm.
But they can. Since you can't teach, really, what you've described, do you have a sensitivity to,
mm-hmm.
there's a guy who's got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't take 10 people and teach them how to do it, but I can find the one guy in the 10 who's already got that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? Can
mm-hmm.
you identify those people?
Only when I get to know them. And then, yeah.
But then you say, he's got it.
Yeah.
She's got it.
Yeah. And it's not, well, you have a gift. It's more of, I tell you what, be patient. If you can have a little bit of patience, and then just what you said, see the miracles? That's what I did with these guys in Granite City. I told them, look at this young man that came in so disrespectful, so, you know, basically saying things that he shouldn't have been saying. And I said, in 2 weeks, you've seen him change. When you see that little subtle change, that's called God is showing you something, and he's saying, be patient with these young people. Be patient with them as I've been patient with you. That's what we teach. Now, can you teach it? No. You actually have to come and experience it. I'll never write a book because you can't. There's no steps. It's all, contextualizing. And then walking with people in their gifts.
Pastor Randy Wilkin, it's always a joy to talk with you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for coming in and opening our eyes a little bit, those of us who could have our eyes open a little bit more. Pastor Tom Eckstein will be on the program tomorrow for Acts chapter 12. And, of course, we will have live Lenten worship broadcast from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County in the 11 o'clock hour on Wednesday.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.